Road.
Fess Up with Liz and Nikki, a Go Loud original podcast.
Sponsored by Fifth Avenue Clinic, here to help you feel your absolute best. With over 17 years of beauty innovation excellence, see fifthavenue.ie for more.
Go Loud sounds better with us.
And welcome back to another week of Fess Up with me, Liz Dwyer.
And me, Nikki Dwyer. And a special thanks to Fifth Avenue Clinic, where I'm hoping to go now to get my holiday fix. We're looking good, means feeling amazing. Time-tested beauty experts for 17 remarkable years. For more, see fifthavenue.ie.
So on this week's episode, we are going to...
Dun, dun, dun.
Drum roll. We have a botched BBL situation coming in.
Major botch BBL.
Yeah, major botch BBL.
Yeah.
So we have Niamh coming in.
Yeah, Niamh O'Connor. Very exciting.
I think Claudia, who works with us, is more excited than anyone else.
Claudia, she didn't sleep last night. She was so excited.
And Niamh has done loads of things in the aesthetic realm, but she will talk us through all her experiences, the good, the bad, and literally the ones that her ended up in hospital nearly killing her. So it's going to be a very interesting convo later on. So as always, we are going to crack on with our Celeb Watch of the Week. And this one is a funny one.
Oh,
right?
My God, hilarious.
Okay.
So I read an article and this particular person's ex-wife has called out her ex-husband and said he has had more surgery
than his current wife.
Love her. Who actually looks so hot. So the current wife is none other than Melania Trump.
Yeah. And Ivana called out Donald saying he's had more surgery than her. Love you, Ivana. Love you.
Ivanka. Is she Ivanka?
Ivanka.
I never know which one's which.
Anyway. No, Ivanka's the daughter.
Sorry.
Ivana's the mom. Yeah, Ivanka is also a big ride. They're all very pro-surgery in that family. They've all had...
So let's hear about what Donald Trump has had.
Well, according to Ivana, he had the tummy tucked on. He had fat removed from under his chin. And he's had like basically $250,000 worth of
hair transplants
over the course of years. He really needs a refund on that because it hasn't worked.
He needs also a refund on everything else.
Yeah, I mean, fat. Are we allowed to say fat or not?
No, we're not allowed to say fat.
Sorry, he's a bit rotund. Is that the word? I think we're allowed to slag him because he's a president.
Okay.
Not the president.
We can't fat shame anybody. Thank you very much.
Donald Trump deserves a bit of fat
shame.
He would totally do it to us, by the way.
Yeah,
he would be like, you blonde twats.
Yeah, he'd call us, he'd probably call us sluts that he wanted to grab by the pussy.
Sluts. Anyway, Donald Trump is our Celeb Watch of the Week. So I was actually having a good...
A really good example of bad work.
Bad.
All of it bad. And all the money. All the money.
Just goes to show you.
And it's the tango. Surgeons. The tango tan. Jesus.
Yeah, it's also the colouring. This is... Herein is half the problem. His problem is... she also said his teeth. He had loads of money spent on his teeth.
Fairly standard American thing. They all have the big, blinging, white brick teeth.
Veneers, turkey teeth, They don't look great. He could do with an old... someone needs to pull him into it and do a proper job on him.
You could actually do a good job on him.
You could.
Yeah.
Someone could. Not us, obviously. We have zero qualifications. We could put a wig on him or two.
Oh my God. Well, now that we're being total bitches, what would you do to him? I know what I'd do to him.
What would you do to him?
I'd stick him on Ozempic for a year.
He's definitely been... I'm sure he's been on it.
He needs a gastric bypass then. And then I'd give him like a full tummy tuck. I'd give him a full facelift.
Yeah, he needs facelift. Yeah.
Blepharoplasty.
And can we give him a lobotomy and get rid of his personality?
No, this is just physical now. There's very few people I'd be this bitchy about because he's such a dick.
Yeah.
I feel like I can totally go to town on
him. So he looks terrible. He's had loads of... Now, Melania, on the other hand, looks freaking amazing.
Amazing.
Yeah. Now, she was always a cracker. Like, I was looking back...
She was a supermodel back in the day.
She was, But she's definitely had a few tweaks now. The nose...
She's had a whole facelift, I'd say.
Yeah, she looks... Brilliant.
I'd be surprised if she hasn't had a facelift. She looks... I always remember on the... Was it his inauguration speech? And she like turned up in this like foxy, sharp white suit.
Yeah.
And
she always looks at him evilly, sideways.
She looks like she's a... Like, do you know she reminds me of like a Bond girl?
Yeah.
You know, Pussy Galore or something. Yeah.
She is smoking. And do you reckon they get surgeries together and then they recover?
Absolutely not. Because whoever's doing her surgery is like top class and whoever's doing his is a vet.
Yeah.
Stop going to vets. Hey, peanuts, Donald, get monkeys.
You should know that. You're a businessman.
Yeah. So sorry for being so bitchy, but you know, it's very few people we can really be that mean about.
On air anyway.
Yeah. Right, on that note, have you got something for us in the rate bowl today?
Let me have a looky loo. Okay, we've got, okay, is this something to do with Dorothy and the Wizard of Oz? It is Emerald Laser.
Oh, yes. No, it's nothing to do with Dorothy, although it is quite fictional. So the Emerald Laser.
Science fictional.
Is science fictional. The Emerald Laser, the point of it, first of all, is to make you less fat, I suppose, to call a spade a spade.
Yeah. Lose fat. Lose adipose fat tissue.
Exactly. However, it's completely different to anything else out there, like the ones that freeze fat or the ones that heat fat up, in that it uses a laser beam to target, to effectively go into your fat cells, and it causes them to open up, and the fat inside liquefies and as is not extracted, what's the word?
Basically empties out of your fat cells.
Yeah, exactly.
Not totally empties out, but it, you know.
And why it's advantageous over the others is that, like, all of these other devices and treatments that freeze and heat up and so forth, they actually destroy the fat cells, and we do need fat.
Well, they either destroy them or they shrink them or damage the integrity of the cell.
Yes.
As this.
And that's not good, because we do need fat cells for various
lots of things, not just weight.
For hormones. Mm. For appetite,
like rinsing resistance and stuff like that.
Like, so fat has a purpose. But I mean, there's healthy fat cells and there's fat cells that are tired and
toxic,
sluggish and overweight. Yeah, exactly. And they're the ones that blow up and make us look fatter, I guess, I suppose. So this, what this does is, doesn't kill the cell, it drains it effectively.
Yeah. Or causes it to dump out fat out of the cell.
Yeah, exactly. Now, in terms of efficiency, I've seen lots of good results. Now, it takes a while. It's not one and done. You have to have a couple of treatments. You could be talking 6 to 8 treatments. And people are using it not just for fat loss. They are using
it in the longevity space as well.
Yeah.
For the mitochondria.
Yeah, because your cells become healthier.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not just skinnier, but in terms of science fiction, it looks deadly, right? Like,
does it work?
It works. But again, with all of these, treatments and non-invasive treatments, like, you have to mitigate your expectations, basically. You know, it's not going to give you.
You can't be sitting out eating hamburgers.
No, exactly. And you're not going to get liposuction results. You're not going to get drop 5 dress sizes, you know.
Which, but it will help with
circumference.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
it's zero pain. Like, you literally just lie. It's kind of like a scanning machine, like a CAT scanning machine, if you can imagine it. You lie down on a bed and this kind of device is placed over whatever area you're treating, with your tummy, your thighs.
Doesn't actually physically touch you.
Doesn't physically. And these green laser beams come out and it's like, it feels like you're in like Star Wars or something like that. And you don't feel anything, and they just get to work.
And actually, what I think is good about this laser in comparison to other lasers is a lot of the other fat treatments are good for pockets of fat or very specific areas that you want to treat, as this is a very good all over.
Yes, exactly.
And also, I like the fact that it doesn't damage the fat cell. Because I find, like, my issue with the Cool Sculpting was that it obviously damages those cells.
Yeah.
And
it left shelves.
So it leaves dents and shelves because it's not.
That was on you, not on everybody.
No, but I mean, anything that damages the tissue or damages the cells, it means that the fat, like, actually has to, like, if you're getting fatter, the fat has to go somewhere. So it'll go to cells that are not damaged.
Yes.
So, I mean, the undamaged cells get fuller quicker than the damaged cells. Then.
Yeah,
so that's, I think, where the dents come from.
Whereas if your cells are clean, it's like having a dirty house, basically. You're just going to keep throwing dirt on top of it. It's like a deep clean for your cells, effectively.
For your cells,
particularly your fat cells. So that if you are putting fat back in, which we all do eventually, it won't be as bad, I suppose.
Okay.
It's very important.
Liz, sorry, what we didn't talk about is, because we know we're going to get the DMs about this, is, like, where can you get Emerald? I don't know if it's anywhere in Ireland.
There's a few clinics that have it.
Is there?
Yeah. If you go onto their website, Emerald Laser, there's a couple of clinics.
I think Kerry Hanafees has it, doesn't they?
No. There's definitely a few places up north that have it. South William, I think, is getting it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's coming in. I'd say it'll be everywhere in the next 6-7 months. It's huge in America and in Dubai and in UAE. Everyone's on it.
How much is it for a treatment, you know?
It's expensive. You're talking like about 1,000
for one treatment.
They all do packages and so forth, but
okay. So basically, go on to the Emerald Laser Insta and find out where there is a local treatment. But if it's not near you now, I suspect it will be soon. So I'm so excited to introduce our guest. So Niamh O'Connor.
Hello. I'm excited
Welcome
to be here.
Welcome to the Festival Hot Seat. In fact, out of everyone we've had in the Festival Hot Seat, I think you've probably had the most surgical stuff. So I
And you've had a serious aesthetic journey.
Yeah, yeah. A wild, winding up and down aesthetic journey.
And you're really young.
Really young.
Such, like an insane journey. What age are you?
20, I had to think there, 27. Yeah.
Shit.
27,
okay.
Yeah.
How would you, on your CV, what do you say you are? Are you a content creator? Are you a podcaster?
I don't really know, girls. No. Like, do you know when you're actually filling out, like, you know, for like a bill pay phone and it's like, what's your job? I'm like, I have no idea what to put, but yeah, I'd say content creator. Bit of a mad thing. That's what I say.
CEO of Magic Limited.
I like that.
Yeah. For us.
Can we talk about the aesthetics, right?
So, Cara, sorry, give us a little bit of background about you for our listeners. So, like, you kind of came into this world of aesthetics.
Yeah.
Like, am I right in thinking that you lived in Turkey?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, but it was before Turkey.
Yeah, it was before Turkey. That's how I actually ended up living in Turkey. But yeah, I kind of always wanted work done my whole life. I think growing up in the time that I grew up in, like there, I was a 90s baby. So early 2000s, like, you know, cover the magazines. If you had like 1 pound on you, you were overweight. So looking at that my whole life, I think it just influenced me. Plus, I loved, like, I was obsessed with Playboy when I was younger.
What?
Yeah, I know, so bad. But like, we had like Playboy phones, Playboy everything. So
oh, you mean like the brand?
Yeah, the brand. Yeah, yeah. But
you
like
the magazines.
No,
what, your
not
child?
The magazines. Sorry. Not them. Okay. But I would have seen the Playboy bunnies, and I would have. I think I was just heavily influenced then by all of that. I'm not going to say like it's not my fault. I was totally influenced. It's totally my fault too. But yeah, that's kind of the background, I'd say. And then I started OnlyFans, and
when?
That was 2020.
That was only 4 years ago.
Yeah.
But you started aesthetic treatments before that, right?
Yeah, well, lip filler.
What was your first aesthetic? What was your first beauty treatment? Oh. Let's reverse.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
You're probably lip filler. Okay. I got lip filler, but I was pretty late getting lip filler. Like, I would have been like maybe 21 by the time I got lip filler.
Okay.
You think
maybe
that's
20.
Late?
Well,
late.
Well, like, nowadays, people are getting lip filler at like 15 now.
No.
It's insane.
You're joking. Yeah.
No, I know, like, there's a 14-year-old person I know on social media that has lip filler. Like, it's insane.
Well, first of all, that's illegal.
Yeah, they shouldn't be doing it, but they do.
Wow, who's doing that? We're not allowed to say, obviously, but like people are doing it.
So you got lip filler early 20s, and then what?
Then, oh God, let me think. Then it was just straight bam into like BBL and stuff. I think I got a PDO thread in my lip.
You did one. Not.
Yeah.
Where?
Yeah, to like lift my lip up.
Yes.
That
this
was
in Dublin?
Yeah, in Ireland.
Okay, tell us about that.
That was in Drogheda. That was actually fine. There was no bother with that. That was fine.
So you had, who put that in? Do you remember the clinic?
No, I can't remember the name, but it was in Drogheda. It was like just a girl in her house, but she's pretty good. Like,
so she put a thread in your lip to kind of lift it up?
Lift it up,
so to give you like a lip flip.
Yeah.
Like it's kind of a surgical.
Yeah.
Oh my God,
yeah.
I think you as a young girl going to get that in somebody's kitchen, I'm like,
I know.
I know. And do you know what it was? It was because I had so much migration. Like my mouth looked like Homer Simpson's, you know, the way Homer Simpson has that like
monkey mouth.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
filler.
Exactly
what my mouth, yeah.
And
how many fillers? How many sessions of fillers?
Oh, only about maybe 3. But because I have an overbite already, the way that filler sits in my mouth is just bizarre. Like, I don't get it anymore now. Obviously, I've had the issues, but I don't get it because it just doesn't sit right because I have the overbite.
Yeah.
It pushes my mouth out.
Okay.
So, yeah, I had Homer Simpson mouth. So she was trying to crack that by putting the thread in to lift it up.
Oh, my God.
So it was like, fix.
Instead of like correct it by actually going and getting it dissolved. Yeah.
Oh, and did it work?
No.
Okay.
No. But it didn't get infected. So
was it? Well, oh my God.
That's your baseline.
Your baseline.
Your baseline. It didn't scar me or get infected.
Yeah. And was it sore?
Yeah, it was. That was sorer than the filler.
I can imagine.
Honest.
Like, threads are hardcore.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, threads are something I would like.
I wouldn't do.
And I am like pretty hardcore.
Yeah. Yeah. It was. Do you know what? I feel like I'm so like, I don't know. I feel like a lot of young girls, because they're so used to getting filler and Botox and everything else, we're just kind of numb to it, aren't we? Maybe
literally
I kind of
numbed
enjoyed
to it.
The pain. Maybe it was a weird kind of kink that I had.
Like,
I don't know.
It's sadomasochistic. Like,
I think you just don't think about it the same way we don't think about, like, I mean, we wouldn't, you know, back, like our mother's time used to be like, oh God, you're getting your hair dyed. Yeah. You're harlot getting your hair done. And now we're all like hair extensions, like whatever.
Yeah.
Then it's like Botox, fillers. Now, and next is going to be like surgeries.
Yeah.
So lips.
21. I can't believe you're saying that, like all your mates. Mates into this as well, or are you an anomaly?
Yeah. No, a lot of my filler and stuff. Yeah. Actual surgery, I would know a few people who've had surgery done, but like not to, I think I had a bit of an addiction. Like I think I was going down the addiction road.
So we've had the filler, we've had the threads, and we're in 21, right?
Yeah.
And then what next?
Next was, I actually want to say I was probably younger, just for the listeners getting filler. I could have been younger than that. I'm very traumatic in my head. So I'm probably trying to make myself feel better saying 21. And next was BBL. Straight into BBL.
Surgical BBL or the injection BBL?
No, surgical.
Okay. What made you want to get a BBL?
I had a flat ass and I was just so insecure about it. But now looking back, like, do you know what's so annoying? The big, like, huge, like, BBL booties were in, and now it's like back to flat, like early 2000 flat ass. I'm like, fuck's sake, why did I do that? Yeah. You know what I mean? But I think just because that was the kind of craze and everyone was talking about having a big bum, and I didn't have a big bum at all. I had a flat bum.
You went and went for it. Where did you go?
Yeah.
Turkey.
So you went to Turkey straight away?
Yeah.
Okay, so how did you research your clinic? How did you come across this clinic?
Oh, I didn't. This is the thing. I was so naive. And this is why I think it definitely came from insecurity, because I just jumped on the first thing and like didn't research it properly, didn't look into it. And it actually ended up being a disaster. I had to get it corrected somewhere else.
So what happened? Let's talk us through the journey. So you're what age? You're 21?
At this time it was 2020. So what age was I then? 23 maybe?
23, okay. Yeah. Did you have like a consultation online with them or anything?
Yeah, send a few pictures. That's it. Like,
really?
That's all it is. Yeah, send a few pictures.
And how did you meet this clinic, or how were you introduced to them?
Google?
Yeah.
Or Instagram or something?
Honestly, Instagram or something. I actually have no recollection. I think I had kind of went, you know what's so bad? I think I kind of asked a few different ones and I just said, that one's the cheapest. I'll go with that.
No.
So bad.
How much were they charging?
$5,000.
That's punchy for an old.
Yeah.
That's cheap.
And that's also not cheap for Turkey.
No. Jesus. But that's like, that was the cheapest out of, there was another one. I ended up going to the other guy to correct the work that I had done. So tell us
about the procedure. So you go over, you hop on the plane. Are you on your own or do you go with a friend?
I was with a guy at the time. He came with me and another friend. So there was three of us.
You weren't on your own. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. The procedure was...
Tell your folks.
Yeah.
Did you?
Yeah. Yeah.
They're like, don't go.
Yeah. So do you want to know the funny thing? Actually, this is so bad. If my dad hears me saying this, I'm dead. But I had started OnlyFans and I had all this money on OnlyFans, but like you couldn't withdraw the money for 30 days.
Okay.
So this is how quickly I rushed into this. My dad lent me the $5,000.
Did he know what you were using?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he knew. Dad, why did you not stop me? Seriously. But I think my parents are used to me and my erraticness, you know. Well, my dad anyway. So yeah, went over. It's all a blur to me, honestly. I just remember waking up and like I had like the thing I was wearing, like my two butt cheeks were sticking out of it, but it was a faha and it looked like
a faha?
A corset. Yeah. Like literally from knees all the way up, and it's like compression.
Yes.
To stop like swelling and all that.
Oh, okay, hold on. Before we even go there, did you meet the surgeon before you got the implants?
No.
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 You're joking. You just rocked in.
Oh, randomly. Actually, do you know what? He might have drew on me. But like, I didn't like
me. Did you speak English? No. Oh my God.
I can't even remember the surgeon that did it. So I know. It's so bad.
I'm like, no.
Did you not? Did you go?
This should be our podcast of what not to do.
Did you go to the clinic first before you even went, or did you just literally get off the plane and go straight in for surgery?
Yeah, got off the plane and go. I think I was there for one day and then I went in.
So you hadn't gone in the day before or anything? No.
No.
Okay, so you rock in.
Yeah.
They were like, we're going to
strip off. We'll get an old marker and mark you.
That was it.
And did you say to them, like, what did they give you an option of what kind of butt lift you wanted or no?
No, not really. They kind of, there's only like, I had to get implants because at the time, now I fucking wish I had that problem now, but at the time I was very small, so I didn't have a lot of fat to put into my bum.
Okay.
So I had to get implants as well. So there wasn't kind of a lot.
Was there an option of implants?
Yeah. Well, no, there was no option because I didn't have enough fat. I just had to have the implants if I wanted.
Is there a size menu of implants?
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you know, with breast implants, there's like loads of different sizes you can choose from.
Yeah, they kind of choose it though.
They chose for you.
Yeah.
Did you not have any say in it?
No.
What? Did you not? Did you show them any pictures or anything?
No.
You went in completely blind.
Blind.
Just give me a BBL.
Now I'm here and I'm like, oh, this is so bad. No, I don't remember ever. Maybe I could have shown them a reference picture, but I never chose the implant size. No.
And that did you even say, I want it up high, I want it down low, I want it. No.
No.
Nothing.
No.
Because he wouldn't have known anything.
No,
she's
I was
only 23. Like,
yeah.
Did they not even talk you through this now?
No.
They're just like, give us the money. And yeah. And you ask.
They have very, even the nurses, I do remember the nurses have very limited English. So the communication isn't great. Like.
So you go in, have your surgery, you come out, your ass is massive.
Huge. Oh my God. Absolutely huge. Like,
and on the level of pain, where are we?
God, probably an 8.
Okay.
Probably an 8. But honestly, it was fine when I woke up from the surgery, it was really bad. But then the next day when I woke up, it was fine.
Okay.
It wasn't that painful. Not
you're still in the hospital or they sent you back to the hotel?
Yeah, still in the hospital for that day and then went back to the hotel that afternoon. Okay. I think.
Did you have drains?
No.
Just
this
the
is set. Yeah, no, this is where they went horribly wrong. Mm. I had no drains, okay. Nothing. So I had loads of like swelling and fluid under my skin. It was brutal, absolutely brutal.
And you didn't know that this was wrong, you just assumed.
No, I assumed that this was okay.
Part of it. And also you were given any aftercare instructions, like don't be sitting on your ass basically.
That's what they basically just give you this cushion and it's like a big black cushion with two bum holes in it.
Yeah. Like you get when you're pregnant, actually. Yeah. We had one of them. Yeah.
They say this is what you're to sit on and you have to sit kind of on your thighs rather than on your bum, you know what I mean? That sort of thing. But
for how long?
6 weeks.
Oh my God, 6 weeks and not sitting on a chair. Wowzers, that's hard.
Yeah.
So what happened next? Like talk us through when you decide or when you realised something was wrong.
The implant was flipping.
What
in my bum.
Implant was,
like I could turn it.
Straight away?
After probably about 6 months.
So you were home?
You came home?
Yeah, came home. I knew something was off though because it was very bruised and I could feel fluid underneath and I was messaging them.
Did it look nice?
No. Hmm. Like, do you know what? I think if you're born without a bum, that's how you're supposed to be.
Yeah. Okay.
Like that's what suits you, you know what I mean? It didn't look nice, no. It looked very out of place, to be honest. Okay. And there was also swelling.
Tell that to Khloe Kardashian.
It was swelling and stuff. And I was messaging them and sending them videos and they were like, no, that's normal. And it did kind of settle down. But then the implant started flipping. That was when I was living in Turkey. So yeah, that was very soon after. I got my boobs done though, but before, so we're skipping ahead a bit.
Oh, God, okay. Yeah. Right. I just wanted to know. Okay, so you see the implant
flipping,
flipped.
You can physically move the actual implant around underneath your skin.
Yeah, because they didn't put it under the muscle, they put it on top of my muscle.
Yeah.
So there was literally just skin implant.
So there's nothing to hold.
I got my boobs done thereafter and their belly.
What are you ever? Oh, my God. So this is not good.
I didn't notice like how I thought it was just the swelling and stuff, which like that can happen, you know. I didn't know how bad the bum was until like a couple of months later. So
when did you get the boobs done then?
Very soon. It was very bad. I had to like pay a lot of money. I think.
Sorry, you had to pay. Did they not fix it for you now?
No. I went to a different surgeon. I said, I'm not going back
and
there.
When you showed them, did they not say, we'll give you your money back, we'll do anything? No.
No, they were just telling me it's normal. It's all normal.
Does look.
Yeah. Yeah. It's all normal.
Where are the incisions for the implant?
I kind of have like, it's in your butt crack.
Yeah. Okay. On the underside.
Like right underneath.
Yeah. No, it's kind of here, like almost at the top. But it's like when I first got it done, it was really bad. Like that's not where they're supposed to put it either.
Where
they're
are they supposed to put it?
It in the middle of your kind of butt crack.
Okay.
But they put mine right. It's meant to be two incisions on either side.
Yeah.
Mine, they just done one big lazy one. Yeah. Wow. On the top.
And shoved it in both ways.
Exactly. And it was quite big. But you can't see it now. It's the colour of my skin, thank God. Yeah. But for ages, it was like horrendous.
And when you're sitting down on the implants, it feel really weird. Like,
no.
It feel like you're on a Lolo ball or something.
No, it feels normal. But what I will say, if I sit on my bum for ages, my bum will hurt.
Me too, and I don't have implants.
I don't know if that's normal or not because I can't remember what it was like to not have plastic in my ass. But yeah.
So who fixes the surgery for you?
Dr. Islani in Spain. Okay. Now,
in Spain?
Yeah.
Why did you go from Turkey to Spain?
Because he's kind of a famous surgeon. So I was like, I'll go to him to get it.
Did you know anyone else who'd gone there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I knew.
Then you did a bit of research.
Yeah, I knew a few girls. Now, what I will say, I'm still not like, I still think it's a bit jacked up, like it's a bit square and everything. But to be honest, I think it's that my body shape just isn't suited for implants.
How did he fix it? What did he do? Take the old ones out?
Took them out, and I had to then go home, have them out for 6 months and let my body heal, and then came back and he put them back in.
New ones. Why did you not just leave it at that point?
Without them, I suppose I just...
Yeah, still wanted the big one.
I was very... I was mad during this era. Like, I just was doing a load of stuff to myself. Like, I didn't see the danger. I didn't see... I was just naive. So yeah, I just wanted a big bum still.
And also, so you got them fixed, right? Do these ones look better?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it worked and you were happy?
Yeah. Like I'd say now, I want to get everything removed now. So I'd say I'm not happy really. Like I think the implants don't suit me. I think I'm too like, just my build. I just think they don't suit me.
Tiny.
Yeah. And they stick out. Like you can see that I have butt implants. So I want them removed, but like they're way better than before for sure.
And did something happen? Didn't you have sepsis or?
Yeah, I had cellulitis.
From which surgery? The first one or the second one?
That was from injections.
Oh,
so
God.
Yeah. Yeah. So
we're still on the ass. Or yeah.
On the ass. Right. No, we're on the ass. So when I got my surgery done with Dr. Islani, he was like, you actually have like a deformity in your bum muscle.
Yeah.
There's a name for it and I can't remember the name of it.
Genetically or?
Genetic. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. And I know about this. It's kind of the same thing that actually causes dimples. It's the split in the muscle.
Yeah, exactly. So he was saying, because you can see that on my bum, like you can see it clear as
day. You got a dimple.
Yeah, exactly.
Because it's a split muscle. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So he said to me, the only way really to resolve that is filler. So I ended up being contacted by this clinic and
in Ireland.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they wanted to do filler. And I was like, oh, well, my surgeon said I should get filler to fix that. So went in, got the filler.
Was it the La Luma filler?
I have no idea. No, it was hydraulic acid or whatever
hyaluronic acid.
Yeah. And went in, got the filler, and ended up then with cellulitis.
Do you want to tell us where you got it?
I can't.
Okay.
I can't because.
Can you tell us about cellulitis? How was that? Sure, it was great fun.
Yeah, that was awful. So the night I got the filler, that night.
What happened that quickly?
That quickly, yeah.
But
I didn't realise that what it was. So the night I got the filler, I actually thought, is this something that I've eaten? Is there something going on?
Tell us the symptoms.
Very low body temperature was the first one. Like I was shivering in the bed.
Yeah.
Vomiting, like that sort
of
thing.
Like a fever kind of thing, yeah.
Yeah, like just infection, just horrible. And then the next day I woke up.
Yes.
And my body temperature was like hitting 40. I had the sweats. I was like dazed. I couldn't like walk from the bedroom to the kitchen. I was in so much pain. There was all like red splotches all over my bum. Yeah, awful. It was so bad. But I still, so this clinic was telling me.
Did you ring them, obviously?
I was texting her. I was telling her like what's going on. And like, she's actually denying this, but like there's a paper trail, girly. She was texting me back saying, sounds like a virus, could be COVID.
No.
So me and my delusion.
Did you send her photos?
Yeah.
Wow.
Everything. I had told her everything. Like my friend.
She was, a medic?
No.
Beautician?
I have no idea, just aesthetics practitioner, but she's not like a medic, which obviously I think that's the issue then, you know what I mean? Because a medic would immediately see a sign of infection and know that's a sign of infection. Mm. But she was telling me redness is normal, pain is normal, like this is not normal. So it was that sort of thing. Then what else happened then? Sorry, let me think. I've lost my...
So did you go to hospital?
Yeah. No. It took me like 2 days to go to hospital because I done the online doctor. I was not fit to get out of bed and go to the doctor. So she had told me, oh, maybe just go to the doctor and get antibiotics to be safe. Mm. So I did the online doctor. The online doctor gave me antibiotics, but I had to fight the online doctor to give me the antibiotics because they were telling me, no, it's just your body rejecting the filler. No. So got the antibiotics, which thank God, I think slowed the infection because it was
starting. Saved your life. Actually.
Yeah. It was starting to go septic when I was in, went into hospital. So I think if I hadn't got those antibiotics, it would have been full blown. Like
sepsis, in defense sepsis. Of that doctor and all doctors and GPs, like they're not trained in this. It's not part of their like GP training.
Also because it's very hard to like diagnose sepsis unless you physically see it.
See.
And like it's, and I've had sepsis or I've had cellulitis twice.
Yeah.
And like you, it's hot. You could see it. It's blotchy. It spreads, but it's very hard to see. You're very hard to see that, like on a camera or anything.
Yeah,
I know. But I'm just saying, the problem with all of the medical aesthetics is so new.
Yeah,
I mean, GPs, sure, they're only just learning about menopause now. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
They're like that's not in their training. You know what I mean?
Although I think sepsis is in every single medical person. Like in every hospital, it's like, no, the signs of sepsis. Yeah. I know the signs of sepsis. Having sat in Crumlin Hospital myself for so long.
Yeah,
It was an older woman as well. So that makes sense. And then by the time I went in to A&E, I just got this awful feeling. And you know the way they say one of the warning signs of sepsis is that you feel like you're going to die. Like that's literally one of the signs. So I had been all along, no, I'm fine. I'll just take my antibiotics. And I was sitting there one night and I was like, something's going to happen. This isn't right. I'm going to die. Like, so I ended up going into the hospital. Knew there was something wrong because did not wait in A&E, not even 1 second. I mean, went into triage, straight in on a bed. There was doctors and everyone rallying around me doing bloods. I was panicking, going, what the hell is wrong with me?
What colour were you, green or something?
Oh, I don't, I actually can't. It's all complete and utter daze, but I know I was tachycardic. Like my heart rate was too high.
Was this in Ireland, by the way, or Turkey?
Yeah, this was St. James's. They were absolutely amazing. Yeah. Amazing. I was tachycardic. My temperature was way up. My respiratory rate was off. There was loads of stuff. Like I was right on the verge of between like really awful sepsis and just getting, you know what I mean? Like I had just caught it in time, thank God. But I was in the hospital then for 2 weeks and I was on antibiotics for a month and a half.
IV antibiotics. In the hospital and then
I was on IV, oral and an injection.
Probably
in the hospital.
Steroids and stuff as well.
Do they take the filler out? Do they dissolve it?
No. So the plastic surgery team in St. James's were honestly amazing. Mm. I didn't know that. I think they actually knew who I was because when I was leaving, they were like, now we knew what your social media. So I didn't know that all along.
They saved you.
Yeah. But normally the treatment is they just cut it open. Yeah. They remove the infection, remove the filler, close. Because that's the quickest way to deal with it.
It's very hard to remove filler like that though, but anyway.
Yeah.
So what do they do?
Every day they were saying, they were kind of trying to get away without doing it. And every day they were preparing me that the next morning I'd be having surgery.
Yeah.
But the surgery never came. They ended up doing a needle aspiration. Mm, so basically they put a needle in, pulled all the infection out. But I signed a thing to be like a case study in colleges because this was like a new thing that they hadn't done before.
I aspirated Liz's swollen lip. Story.
I had my boobs aspirated. I'll tell you about
that. Did you? Did you? Yeah. They obviously, I think because it was like the filler. And there was, their fear was that the infection was going to get down into my butt implant.
Yeah.
And then...
What would you have done if they'd taken the implants out?
That's what they were telling me. They were like, we're going to have to remove, and they can only take out one. Like, they're not opening my other one.
And this is the thing that...
So you would have been left with one.
One bum.
But also, like, this is the thing that people don't understand. Like, they go, oh, I'm just going in. Like you know, A&E will save me. Yes, they will save you, but they don't care what you look like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they're there to remove the implant.
Yeah.
Or the filler, but they're not there to make you look pretty. They're there to save your life.
I can't speak for all the surgeons out there, but I hear they're like, they're pissed off.
Yes.
Yeah.
We are sick of
it. I read something the other day.
Turkey.
Did you read that whole thing the other day? This is in the UK now, but like, I mean, we're, I suppose, always a micro version of this, but it costs the NHS in the UK $9 billion. A year to fix jobs from abroad.
See, this they just provided the service here properly in the first place.
Yeah. I think the biggest issue here, I think they need to make, I don't know, I feel like there's not the same accessibility, and maybe that's why people run to go abroad.
I think there's accessibility, it's just prices.
The prices are insane. And say for things like a BBL, you never hear of anyone having a BBL done in Ireland. So there's no reference. Whereas you hear people going to Turkey, you hear people going to other countries. So I think that's why people are quicker to go there. Now, with boobs and stuff, I think that's different. Lots of people get boobs done in Ireland. But with bum, and I know the complication rate and risk rate of a BBL is huge. Like, huge.
The highest risk surgery, plastic surgery, of all of them.
Yeah, and I don't know. I wish I didn't get it done because they don't, like, in a couple of years' time, they don't look nice anymore.
Have yours dropped at all?
I wouldn't say dropped, but I have a lot of like kind of cellulitis on my bum that is definitely caused by the BBL because they put fat in from another area of your body and they put it in there. So it gets kind of like cottage cheesy looking, you know what I mean?
Like, the whole point is like, was to make your bum look hotter, but it kind of backfires.
No, it backfires. Yeah.
So,
wow, what happened after the James estate? Then what did you do?
That was it. I've never had anything done ever since.
What about treatments? Do you, like, would you do a bit of Botox?
I do, well, only by a doctor.
Thank
I actually,
God. I Thank God, we finally learned our lesson.
I haven't had anything done since, but I'll actually say on the pod, I've been so afraid to say this on social media because I know people are going to be like, Niamh, you're in hospital. But I've booked in on Friday to get a little bit of Botox because I'm crying every day over the wrinkles on my eyes. Like,
well, I think that's okay. Like, if you're
Botox
going to,
is okay. Like, yeah. I mean, I feel like Botox is in terms of safety.
Right? Yeah.
It's like, that's like the lowest compared to like everything else.
Yeah,
it was okay.
And now you're frightened to say you've got both.
Yeah, yes, no, I'm literally, I'm not sharing anything to do with anything like that anymore. Because,
and if you ever want to get anything done in the future, please come talk to us.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
We will like hook you up with the best doctors, yeah, the best plastics, yeah, people.
I mean, I suppose the whole point from your experience, sorry, we never talked about the boobs. You did the boobs in Turkey as well.
Did the boobs in Turkey? They're a total botch job, girls.
Like, these girls, look great.
Yeah, no,
they look good. They look good.
So
from
the nipples are like here.
Okay.
Where,
like,
should they be?
Like here, probably. Okay. And they're like, my nipples are huge. Like, okay. I have like pepperoni nipples. So I wanted a lift and implants going into it.
Yeah.
And I came out of surgery and they're like, yeah, we didn't do the lift. We just did the implants.
And did you?
Sorry, and this was the same clinic?
Same place.
What? Why did you go back to the same place?
Know.
And you paid for all of this, by the way. Did you pay for every single one of these?
Yeah.
Has anyone ever given you money back?
No.
Or offered you a repair surgery or recuperation?
What are you going to do about the boobs now?
I want to get the implants removed and just get a lift naturally of my own boobs and just be flat.
Do you know who does a great job of that?
Who?
Shane Murphy.
Who's that?
In Blackrock Clinic. Yeah, please go to a proper surgeon.
Oh, I love
an IAPS or a back surgeon.
You'll have to send me that.
She's, do you know what I love about her? She's a mom.
Yeah.
And a woman. So she kind of like...
Kevin Eve is 27, like, she doesn't really care about that. She's
no, I know. Okay. But I mean, she's not going to make her look like, you know what I mean? Like a... big,
yeah,
you know,
giant.
No, I want to be flat now. I'm like, I'm
so sick. Do you now want flat boobs, yeah, or flat ass?
Yeah, flat boobs, flat. See, maybe I'm just going the other end of the spectrum.
Well, I think when you've suffered such a trauma, because it is a trauma.
Yeah, yeah.
And how do you feel like now when you're in bikinis and stuff?
Insecure. Yeah, probably more insecure than I did before.
Wow.
Yeah, I felt great for a period, but I think since I was very, very small. I was like a size 4 to 6. Now I'm in like a happy relationship. I've put weight on. I'm a healthy weight. And I feel
you
like...
look fantastic.
But I feel like the weight is adding to the problems that I see. You know what I mean? Mm. And like, not, I'm not insecure about my weight per se, but like, it's adding to the like cottage cheese cellulite bum. You know what I mean? So I think, yeah, that's why I want to get everything removed. I'm sick of it now. I think it was just impulse decisions. Like,
so what would you say to people who are listening here who are like contemplating getting surgery or, you know, going down the going abroad route? What would be your advice?
Don't.
And?
Don't. But look, people aren't always going to listen. I think it's really important to do your research, look into where you're going, make sure that the surgeons are qualified to do what they're doing, and do it in Ireland if you can, because if anything goes wrong, it's vital that you have the like immediate medical attention and doctors that are immediately going to understand. And I know it's...
But like you said, you went to a clinic for the injections and they didn't even treat you well afterwards.
No.
So, I mean, that kind of just negates what we're saying.
Yeah.
I would say about the Ireland thing as well, like, versus going abroad. Now, you can go to EU countries. This
is something
people don't realise is that if you are, it is, let's call it a spade a spade, it is very expensive to have surgery done here. You're on big waiting
list. You can't go to other EU countries on the medical exchange programme for cosmetic.
No, I know. Yeah. I'm just saying, if you were saying, if you wanted to
get a blepharoplasty.
Yeah, if money is the big thing, right, but you wanted, and you're thinking, well, I'll go to Turkey or something, if you maybe look into Spain or maybe look into other EU countries, because you have a higher standard of care, you're under EU legislation.
I'll give you a really good example that explains that.
Yeah.
I was speaking to the medical director of an Aurelia about bariatric surgery.
Yes.
And the staples that they use in bariatric surgery cost €2,000. And there's about 4 to 6 staples in an average bariatric surgery, right? Now, they cost €2,000. And if you need
for the clinic to buy.
Just for the staples.
Yes.
And on top of that, they have to pay for an anesthetist, the surgeon, all of their insurance, all of their gear, surgical instruments, blah, 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 blah. But anyway, aside from all those other things, the EU, the cheapest EU regulated staples are €2,000.
Okay.
If you're getting a bariatric surgery or €2,000, you're getting staples from Shein.
Yeah. Yeah.
For Timu.
From Timu.
You're getting staples into
your tummy.
So, I mean, that is all you need to know.
Okay.
And that's a wrap on a festival.
Yeah. Yeah.
So basically, bottom of the story is if you're going to surgery, please try to do it here first and foremost. If you can't afford Irish prices, go to another EU country. And like, I think.
Or America.
Yeah. But like, I think Turkey's the last resort. And bear in mind that the A&E here, you know, a lot of the doctors aren't trained in mopping up.
Well, they're trained to mop up disasters.
Yes.
And they'll fix your disaster and save your life. But
they're not going
to
make
their job
it
is to save your life, not to save your ass.
I know.
And you're very lucky, God.
Save your ass, literally.
Save your ass.
Yeah. No, they were really good, but like I have scars now on my bum that, you know, just from getting the filler, I went to get it done to look nicer and now I have scars on my bum from the cellulitis. So
I also want to ask you about your teeth very quickly.
Oh, yeah.
So this has obviously been another journey, has it?
Yeah.
One.
I got them done when I was like very young. Like,
what did you get done?
Veneers. No, zirconium crowns. So I don't have teeth.
In Ireland? Teeth.
No, in Turkey.
Ah, Jesus. Here. Oh, my God.
You got
30 odd zirconian crowns.
I think it's 10 or 8 on top, 8 on bottom.
Wow.
Yeah, but I hate them. They're fine. They actually don't cause me any trouble. And my dentist here, like I got a fill-in in one of them recently. Like my dentist
you
worked fill-ins on them.
In crowns,
yeah.
You?
Yeah, they just treat it like a normal tooth. Yeah.
I didn't think that.
Yeah.
They were like invincible.
No. Because the tooth underneath, even though it's only a little bit, that little tooth underneath can become infected.
And tell me this, you are also about to embark on the podcast journey.
Yes.
Talk to us a little bit about the pod.
Yes. Oh God, what do I say?
Actually, by the time this comes out, you will have already been, you're already out.
Yeah.
Already out.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
Called Unfiltered.
Yeah. It's called, Unscripted.
Unscripted.
Nothing's unfiltered.
It's called Unscripted. It's me, myself and I. Yeah, unscripted. I suppose we'll have guests on sometimes. It's me unscripted, just chatting shit kind of and doing user dilemmas and stuff.
Okay.
I don't know what to say about it.
Neil, I think like this has been such a fascinating podcast.
I'm literally sat here with my mouth agape.
And like nothing shocks Liz. Nothing shocks Liz.
So I just want to say to your young self, no,
I know.
What would you say to your young self?
Don't do it. Don't do it. You're beautiful. You're going to learn to love yourself and no bum and no boobs are going to come back in a few years and you're going to regret getting it done. So don't.
Well, thank you so much. For joining us,
and
we really appreciate you coming in and being so honest.
Jesus. Thank you for having me.
I'm gonna go home and love my fat flat pancake ass now.
I know.
We have
our family has like we're all pancaked ass, and I squat a lot.
Yeah.
And actually, after doing a year of Ozempic, I have the pancake ass. I'm like, no.
I think it's genetic because my whole family are the same, apart from my sister. She has like a fat Kim Kardashian ass. I don't
really
know got that from. Yeah.
Well, let's embrace our flat ass.
Nobody cares. Like nobody cares about your ass. I don't
know. And things fit you better when your bum is smaller. You can buy more jeans.
100%.
And your boobs, for that matter.
Yeah.
On that note, listen, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
And now we've come to our aesthetic advice corner. Who have we got in the DM box this week for us?
Let's find out.
I love this section.
Hi, Liz and Nikki. I'm wondering if you were to get a boob job, are you better to get it done before or after you have kids?
It depends what your starting point is, I suppose. So if your starting point is like very, very, very small, then I don't think it's going to make too much of a difference to the kids.
My whole thing would be like, the minute you have kids, you don't care about anything anymore.
Yeah.
You're too tired. Your boobs are the last thing on your mind and it'll be like 5 years before you even look at them again.
But I do think if you're very small cupped,
yes,
it doesn't really matter. And if I think you're big boobed and you're talking about getting a boob job to try and, you know, deal with the kind of shape and the laxity and all that kind of stuff, absolutely 100% wait until after you have kids, because they blow up. The big boobs get bigger and then they shrink. And so then you've got a whole kind of laxity kind of issue to deal with.
I disagree. I know loads and loads of women who've had them before kids. And first of all, a lot of people ask about the breastfeeding. Does it affect the breastfeeding? majority of people do not have any issues with breastfeeding post implants.
Well, depending about whether they cut the nipple and yeah, if they've repositioned the
majority of people I know have no issues, and most surgeons will say the same. And in terms of shape and stuff like that, like your breast tissue is going to go up and down anyway, and the implant just kind of tends to meld in with it. So I would personally, I'd say go for it. Just do it. Don't be waiting around. Life is short. Get the boob job.
Yeah, like Madison Ashley. Life is short. Have an affair.
Exactly. And as I said, I'm telling you, the minute your kids come out, you're like, yeah, you are the priorities. Just totally.
Although,
look,
I always had big perky boobs.
Yeah.
Forever.
Yeah.
And then I had babies, and I blew up to I was at a K at one stage. I was a 40K cup.
Hey, bloody hell.
And now I'm back down to my double D, but like they're saggy.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Get a boob job.
But if I had the boob job beforehand,
Now they mightn't be saggy because the implant would keep them up and alive.
I don't know.
Yeah, you might have had Zed boobs at some point.
Jesus Christ.
Right. Okay. So we're splitting that one. Next question.
Hi girls, Shannon here. Love the pod. I am 23 and I really want to know, how good is preventative Botox?
Oh yeah.
Oh yes, I was actually talking to another millennial about this earlier.
Great question.
Great. It's great. But
it's great.
It's great. It's great. Do you know what? I was talking to a younger person about this earlier, and his whole jam was about, like, I know, preserving his face or whatever. And I had this thought, right? Do you think all of us have the gel problems? All of the 40-year-olds, like, I mean, what's our number one GM from everybody is about necks and gels, right?
Yeah.
And I had this epiphany this morning where I was like, is the number one problem necks and gels because they've all been doing this bad three areas Botox in the top area of their face?
Did you not read the article I did in the Indo last week?
No, just I never read anything right.
Thanks. Called Picasso face. Two-faced.
Two-faced, yeah. But I mean, is it because, like, we've been doing... Although then I'm against that grain then because I've been getting full-face Botox for 10 years.
Well... Right, we haven't even answered the question.
Sorry. Do I think preventative Botox is worth it? Yes, I do. I think you're just...
Does it prevent you aging? No, it doesn't.
No,
it prevents...
Hang on, if you had no Botox, you would not look the way you look.
Oh, I'd probably look like a fucking old...
Yeah.
Like, hag.
So you probably look around a bit.
But it's not just the Botox, it's everything.
I know, it's all the things. But it is definitely... So it stops your muscles moving.
Mm.
It stops further lines... growing and you know, so tiny. And I'm not saying people, I really,
if I was 23 now, if I was Shannon's shoes, I wouldn't even look at Botox.
What would you be doing?
I'd be going into regeneratives, I'd be doing lasers, I'd be doing everything. I wouldn't go near Botox until I give it another 30. 10 years. Yeah,
30 is a good age. Yeah.
So you're 23, you're freaking gorgeous, probably, and you don't even need to think about it.
As I would say,
jab yourself, silly.
No, I wouldn't say job. No, I think the young ones really shouldn't be jabbing themselves silly. But I do think if they're doing something like it, particularly if they've got something that bothers them, like, I mean, why not?
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, but she's saying preventative in terms of aging. Is it going to stop you aging? No, is the answer. The end.
Well, then why are you doing it now?
Because it's reversing the damage.
It's not reversing anything. It's just preserving you where you're at. So is it preserving? Yes, it is. Does it preserve you if you're 21 or if you're 31? Or 41 or 51.
Well, I started doing Botox at 29. Do I look 29?
No, but...
So therefore, I should, if preventative Botox worked, I should be stale at 29 because I started at 29.
But you not think you're closer to 29 than you would be if you had never done it and started doing it today? So if you had never done a single stick of Botox in your life and today you were like, do you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to start my Botox journey at 46.
Yeah.
Like, there's no way you'd reverse to where you're looking now.
Who knows? I doubt it.
Well, I mean,
we're not getting anywhere with this question. Ed's getting cross with us. Right.
Okay. Sorry.
Sorry.
No answer to that either.
Pretty useless today. And on that note, DM us your question.
I need Botox with the stress lines that you guys are going to give me. So any recommendations, please?
No. It's complex. It's complicated. Okay. As always, you can drop us a DM. And if you are dropping us a DM, please give us information about everything. We want your life story.
Yeah.
It's really hard to give a record without context. And did you just say girth size?
Like, you're looking for information. So hilarious.
As always, we are available on @FutureBeautyShow across all social channels. And If you like this podcast, please send it to your friends on WhatsApp and drop us a follow on the usual platforms because it helps keep us on air.
And that's our wrap, folks. Thank you again to Niamh for coming in and telling us her amazing story and her journey. And thank you so much to our sponsor, Fifth Avenue Clinic, where looking good means feeling amazing. Time-tested beauty experts for 17 remarkable years. For more, see fifthavenue.ie.
With Liz and Nikki, the Go Loud Original Podcast.
Sponsored by Fifth Avenue Clinic, where looking good means feeling amazing. Time-tested beauty experts for 17 remarkable years. See fifthavenue.ie for more.
Go Loud.
Sounds better with us.